Okay, good morning. Here's November 17th. We're in Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 3, verse 11, and Harm's going to lead our discussion today.
Welcome. Good to see you all. This is a great chapter. We just talked about mortal and immortal and transformation. Very interesting about the three Nephites, the great mystery of the ministry of the three Nephites. Okay, let's start with Brother Russell. Would you lead
Sure.
our first? Read our first verse.
I speak of this because of the iniquity and unbelief that increased among the Nephite people from time to time, and of the many times that the three of us were taken out of the midst of the people and regarded as slain by those who knew us. This happened for the first time 100 years after the coming of Christ, when all the disciples had already gone to the paradise of God except us three, but the whole first generation of those who saw Jesus had died.
Thank you. It's interesting, I thought, was from time to time. Because it's earlier in the iniquity and unbelief increased, and it's like fluctuating. It's not always the same degeneration or regeneration. It comes in waves. Any thoughts?
I think it's interesting that they were regarded as slain. I don't know which method they used to slay them, but they figured they did. I don't know if they'd drowned them, killed them other ways, buried them, whatever they did, but they all figured, hey, these guys are gone now. And yet they came to walk again on the earth.
Yeah, probably they were gone in longer periods of time, and because
that
they
could
saw
be
them
true.
in the pits and all the stories of prosecution, that they probably died somewhere. Elder Bob, did you want to say?
No, I was just deep in thought. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, I thought it. I saw something.
I was like, oh my. I was trying to imagine what this would be like.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Okay.
And it says this happened for the first time 100 years after the coming of Christ, but they lived in peace for 200 years, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the all the disciples had
yeah.
already gone. That was new for them, as the three, with another mission.
But this happened for the first time that they were slain, 100 years after the coming of Christ.
Yeah, I think they thought there was an actual event that caused them to be slain, whether it's burned by fire or whatever it is. They thought they had done it. They'd taken care of those three irritants.
But it gets there's going to be some explanation a little bit further up what exactly happened. But maybe go to the next verse, Brother Rex. Oh, sorry. Did you want to say something, Dolores?
Yes, I thought it was interesting also that they still talk of their relations. Well, he still talks about my father. So they must have come back as this same people. Maybe. But how would they come back if their bodies were destroyed? I don't know. It's a miracle.
Yep.
It is. So, Rex, would you do verse 12?
Yes. My father was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, the one who resurrected his brother Timothy, and who was still alive on the occasion of everyone already have died except us three. And the church was living a period of peace and justice among its people. That as soon as the Lord transferred us again, behold, one of my brethren gave continuity to our father's record. Excuse me.
It's not totally clear who the who is after the brother of Timothy was resurrected. Is it Timothy or is it my father? Yeah, I suppose.
Well, I think it's to make clear who what his father, who his father was, and of this miracle surrounding his father with the resurrection of his brother. But it's interesting that the continuity is of the record, that it's clear that there is a record being written still.
Yes.
Okay.
Is this Nephi? He says, my father was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, the one who resurrected his brother Timothy. Is this Nephi?
I think.
I thought it was.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was Nephi.
Yeah, if you follow the footnote, 3 Nephi 7:19 will tell us.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll read that real quick.
Okay, yeah.
And in the name of Jesus, did he cast out devils and unclean spirits, and even his brother did he raise from the dead after he had been stoned and suffered death by the people. So he that it's referring to is Nephi, the disciple.
Thank you. It's interesting. It reminds me of Helaman 5 about the name Lehi and Nephi, that they remember they have the judgment speech, and then they remember the words of their father Helaman, that it's better to preach. Because then they refer to the story of their father, why they give their names, Lehi and Nephi. It's very interesting because of the time that the world is degenerating. That's before Christ comes in 5 Helaman. But it's interesting because there is also this degeneration going on. Because the majority of the people have the power to choose their judges and their leaders, and because the people go sour in a way, they choose bad leaders, and this is what's happening now. I think the democracy is making the best what it can, but it can't do better than so much. Sorry, Dolores, will you want to say something? No?
No, I agree.
Okay.
About the church.
Also, in the footnote 3 Nephi 19, verse 4, there are the names of the disciples, which also mentions Timothy. I could read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that is 3 Nephi chapter 19, verse 4. And it came to pass that on the morrow, when the multitude was gathered together, Behold, Nephi and his brother, whom he had raised from the dead, whose name was Timothy, and also his son, whose name was Jonas, and also Matthoni and Matthonia, his brother, and Cumen, and Cumenhoni, and Jeremiah, and Shemnon, and Jonas, and Zedekiah, and Isaiah. Now these were the names of the disciples whom Jesus had chosen, and it came to pass that they went forth and stood in the midst of the multitude.
Wow, thank you for that. It's so good to remind us that they're all known individuals with names. And we're so used to the apostles on this side of the... Oh, sorry, most of you... We're here in Europe, but yeah, thank you. Okay.
That reference in 4th Nephi kind of repeats what was said before about the 100 years. I'll read that if you'd like.
Please.
4th Nephi 1:14, it came to pass that the 70 in first year passed away, also the 70 in second year, yea, and in fine, till the 79th year had passed away, yea, even in 100 years had passed away, and the disciples of Jesus whom he had chosen had all gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three who should tarry, and there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of that generation passed away. And then verse 19, it came to pass that Nephi, he that kept this last record, and he kept it upon a plate till Nephi died, and his son Amos kept it in his stead, and he kept it until he kept it on the plates of Nephi also.
Great, thank you. That's great. That continuity again with the plates on the on the end. From but no worry, we got the record. The record is very important for us to have the record. So great. Something changed in the how we you look here from here, but
you look much better.
No, you all look great. Emerson, I think it is Dolores. Would you read 13?
Sure. Now, whether we die or not, we do not know for sure. Nevertheless, what happens to us is that we do not suffer the pains of death, which are forgetfulness, when passing through the veil. But behold, we remember all things, both in this dwelling and in the other. And so we must remain until all things be fulfilled, when then Jesus comes among his people in the last days, just as he came among the Nephites, and we will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, of the mortality, that is, of this mortality, mortal state, in which we are being delivered to death at all times to immortality.
Thank you. Russell.
Yeah, I have a comment on this. You know what, you hear about them, they can't be killed, basically. They'll be back and serving again. But I think what they're telling us is they actually go through the birth process. But because they don't forget anything, they come as babies knowing everything that they knew in the previous life, and they get born and come back together again with the other of the three disciples. I think that's what it's telling us. That the pains of death is the forgetfulness.
Yeah. And passing through the veil. I'm sorry, I do not know that, but that could be. That could be. Maybe they have a transfiguration where their body renews. I was thinking actually that they are being renewed, but it. Also interesting is the forgetfulness when passing through the veil. We do not suffer the pains of death, which are forgetfulness. And I think that's also something really good to ponder about, because it says after, when Pastor referred, behold, we remember all things. That's the difference in this dwelling and in the other. So I think we would not remember if we go to the womb again, probably, of being born. Could be, and I'm wrong, but I was thinking about all things in this dwelling and the other. So we must, oh yeah, that actually, that speaks for you, Russell, and the other, this dwelling and the other. Could be. And
Bob
but
has a comment.
One, yeah, go ahead, Brother Bob.
I don't know about I don't know about the discussion we're just having, but I do, what came to mind was that I believe there's a reference which I would need to research that said that the three Nephites would see all the fulfillment of all the works of God. And if they were absent at times, I don't think they might miss some of those events. So I don't know if they would be go through the birth process again. But just you know, I'm just putting that out as a thought. I'll look for that reference to make sure I have the reference right. Thank you.
But that's interesting. That's actually where I wanted to go. With the all, we remember all things, so we must remain until all things are fulfilled. So otherwise, it wouldn't have the there wouldn't be the necessity of being a witness of all these things. That was a thought I had with because it's the highest calling before he comes back, Jesus, that we would tarry, remain. To that would be the fullness, to experience the fullness of the intertwinedness of the future and the past and what Isaiah says.
I think the next verse helps too.
First I thought was Michael and then Dewey.
Yeah, my comment was just going back to the last three lines of verse 10, which we finished up last week, but it's relevant to what Russell was saying regarding this great mystery of their ministry. Therefore, although we are killed at times, we do suffer the pains of death or their agonies, which we learn in this verse 13, that the
do
pains
not suffer
of death are forgetfulness.
You skipped over the word not.
Oh, therefore, although we are killed at all times, we do not suffer the pains of death, aka forgetfulness through the veil, except for the sins of the world. So is Jonas telling us here that they do go through this, like what Russell was saying? They're killed, their bodies die, they come back, but they don't forget what they've done in a previous life. I don't know if it almost sounds like that's what Jonah's trying to tell us here, but I always understood it that they kept their current bodies in that state and they were just kind of put on pause for the rest of, you know, until the end of, until the Savior comes back. They had the same bodies, but it's interesting what he's trying to explain here.
I think those bodies get burned. They get mutilated. They get all things done to them in the killing process. Now, they could be miraculously just resurrected from the ashes like a phoenix bird. Or they could go through a birth process. I think are the two options.
My comment is this sounds like a topic for the School of the Prophets.
Probably right.
Well,
sorry, Dewey wanted also... Do we still have a comment?
Well, I'm just saying, just because you're in the spirit world or you're on the earth, I think you could still witness what's going on if you so chose. I mean, Anyway, I'm more with Russell on this, that they come and go. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't know the history of the people. I mean, they didn't have to see it. They could see it with their, whether they're on one side of the veil or the other, they could still watch it. So,
Interesting.
anyway.
Probably, Aaron is right. It would be short, very, very fast in a school of prophets with a real prophet who just knows, and then it would be but it's also good to ponder ourselves and
Sure.
We're all
good.
called to be prophets.
Yeah.
Just thinking, you have the testimony of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I love to think about it and understand in the twinkling of an eye. It was my first song, the Kolob, if you could hide the Kolob with the twinkling of an eye. I'm sorry, I'm getting to my personal too much. How did Jean Pratt say? Personal interest stories. We have to minimize that.
And
You're doing
also
great, Arm. Thanks.
during the lifetime, people could always get taken up to heaven to have a sign, kind of an upgrade, I think, because it's said so in 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul says, "I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether he was in the body, I cannot tell, or whether he was out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Who was taken up to the into the third heaven, and I know the same man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how he was taken up into paradise and heard words not to be spoken, which no man can utter." So,
Well,
yeah,
it's
this
the same
also.
gospel.
You read a different translation than the King James.
Oh,
Very good.
this is the New Matthew Bible.
Okay.
Always good to ask.
There are a lot of well, anyway, somebody was taken up and had a kind of an upgrade, probably. I remember mentioning this in the lesson with John Pratt, and he was making a connection between the sealed book and this, but
Oh,
we have
great.
to look it up later.
2 Corinthians 12.
Yeah, this is Jonah. Jonah or Jonas is the one that visited Paul, correct?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so that's, I think.
in chapter
And
5, verse 4, it talks about that. We're not there yet, but we can read it if you want.
it's very interesting. But yeah, go ahead if you feel like it, why not?
In view of this, after it had passed 14 years since we were caught up and equipped with these good news, who from the heavens Jesus took me privately among my other two companions and set me before one of his disciples in Jerusalem, who was about to enter into a debate with the chief apostles of Christ because of the circumcision of the Gentiles. And then it says, to which I ministered to him not to let the feelings of pride from the evil one take hold of his heart, as Jesus foresaw. For how much I have made him realize that true circumcision is the lofty sentiments of Christ in our hearts, and that the strange feeling of disagreement was an angel of Satan who had moved him for a long time in order to confront the one who held the keys of the high priesthood of the church in Jerusalem, aka Peter, and this brought tremendous pain to his heart as if it were a thorn in his flesh.
Wow,
That's
very
good,
good.
Michael. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So good. The circumcision of the heart again, and of the higher laws and the lower laws. It's all there. It's great. Brother Bob.
I was just going to say the reference I was thinking of is interesting in light of this discussion. Can I read it? It's in chapter 2 of Acts of the Three Nephites, verse 4.
Go
Therefore,
ahead.
you are more blessed, for you will never taste the bitterness of death, but you shall live from generation to generation to see all the works of the Father among the children of men, till all things be fulfilled according to the will of the Father, and I will come in my glory with the powers of heaven among my people in earth. So it, yeah, okay, it very well could be what the process from generation to generation. So. Thank you.
Thank you. It's so interesting. You are more blessed. The fullness. Okay, let's go ahead. Brother Bob, would you read the next verse? And that is verse 14.
And in this transitory state of being and not being in the world, we must remain going and coming in a partial and continuous transformation of what we are to be at the last day, so that Satan will not have power over us and so little acknowledge us among the children of men that we may not be held back by the rulers of the earth until the day of judgment, when we will then go through a complete transformation so that we may no longer leave the presence of God.
Thank you. It's so deep, brothers and sisters. Amazing. What a gift.
The footnote I could read in 3 Nephi 28.
Please.
It says, "Now this change was not equal to that which shall take place at the last day. But there was a change wrought upon them insomuch that Satan could not have power over them, could have no power over them, that he could not tempt them, and they were sanctified in the flesh, and they were holy, and that the powers of the earth could not hold them. And in that state they were to remain until the judgment day of Christ. And at that day they were to receive a greater change, and to be received into the kingdom of the Father, to go no more out, but to dwell with God eternally in the heavens." This idea of going no more out, I think that's mentioned like four or five times in the Book of Mormon. And I think that supports the idea of multiple mortalities. If we're continuously going back out, right? We're going into new bodies, new lives. But at the end, the last day, at that final definitive resurrection, we will go no more out because we have reached the pinnacle. We finished it. We finished our work.
We are one. Thank you, Michael. We must remain going and coming. Partial and continuous transformation.
Go no more out is five times in the Book of Mormon and once in Revelation and once in the DNC 88.
Wow. Once in the Revelations? Which one do you mean? The
new I'm talking about Revelation 3:12. The Bible.
Oh, okay, oh, yeah. The Bible, yeah.
It's interesting. The coming home, like with the Bethlehem, I'm thinking about that he is the bread of the home. And when we've come home, actually, we eventually go out no more. We don't leave the press. We can unite. We have the same heart and mind, probably.
Yeah, that's when we're in the kingdom of the Father.
Yes.
So to be there, you have to be in a state of unity, I think, yes.
Do we?
You know, I was thinking that it says that Enoch was always in the presence of God. So I think, you know, when the veil gets removed, that all things can be present in front of you. I mean, you're kind of progressing and becoming more and more like God. And so the idea that he's you don't know that he's there. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that Enoch walked with God continuously. Well, how did he do that? And then if the veil's removed and you God's right there with you all the time. Anyway, that's kind of how I saw that. I've seen these men as progressing in that direction where just is always there, you know. You just anyway, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It reminds me of the walking that Enoch walked with God. So he the movement in the presence in the he breathed, or I remember Brother Samuel, we have to bathe the Book of Mormon, to breathe the sealed book, that we are infused in his light. I think that symbolizes the walking of Enoch, and that he was so young. So we should seek the Lord in our youth and all these things to be, to become one, to do, not speak, but to do the things he does, to know him. If you want to know who he is, then do the things he does. Okay, let's go to the next verse, verse 15. Brother Aaron?
Nevertheless, the lack of references by the ancient prophets in their writings to this procedure which Jesus Christ used with us, who are the three disciples that should remain in the land, does not appear to exist in any previous account in the history of the gospel, from the beginning until now, except the account that was known to us when we were caught up, and we saw a book written by an apostle of the Lord, whose name was John, the one of whom the Lord Jesus had told us, "Behold, I know your thoughts and your desire, and you desire what John, my beloved, who has accompanied me in my ministry before I was condemned by the Jews, desired of me."
On
Thank
the
you.
comment there, that see, they could see what's going on the earth when they were in heaven. So, I mean, they could see what's going on even though they're up in heaven, because they saw John's book, they saw John the Revelator. So anyway, I can see where they could see either way. I'll pass.
It's interesting again, the lack of references. And earlier, the emphasis of the record, and that it is being kept, and there is a parallelism going on here in the heavens and on the earth. So it is interesting also that he says does not appear to exist. So there would be in like in a, from a heavens view. If you have the all the history on your screen, and to emphasize how important these scriptures are. Actually, it emphasizes what you have in your hand, because also I know your thoughts. This is what we have to be at peace with, that he knows our thoughts, he knows our actions, he knows all of us, what we ever did, and all of our forefathers, and why you had these specific talents or qualities or might, and not to boast upon that, but that they're all given for his how do you say, glory. Accept. So yeah, it's interesting. Sorry, Brother Bob.
No, I
Okay.
just I realized my mic was still on, so I was going to turn it off.
Okay. Let's go to the next. Do we want to read 16?
16. And after we were caught up and transfigured before the throne of God, we were shown all the unspeakable things of the mysteries written by this apostle John. But because of the order which we had received in heaven, we do not report anything. For how much we ministered among all the inhabitants of the earth, and we recorded the things which we have seen and heard of the revelations written by him to be revealed when at the last these things begin to occur again between the children of men.
Thank you. So interesting, the revelations of John, emphasis on the revelations, the mystical visionary gospel of the four. I'm thinking of all the menorahs and the trees, and it reminds us also the living living symbolism in the Book of Enoch, with the fragrant trees. This, yeah, it's all at the same time. That's the whole thing, that we could have all these things before us at the same time. Like a drop in the water, when you get these concentric circles, that kind of thing.
Dolores, do you have
What things begin to occur again between the children of man? My question when I was reading this.
So what was your question again?
In the last part of that verse, it says, when at last these things begin to admit. What?
Well, probably when the faith grows again, the second invitation, and the priesthood powers are being restored, the Lord is able to do bigger things, bigger miracles. So I think it's talking about that. Do we? Go ahead.
Well, I got thinking that, you know, we're all promised this same vision, the same cosmic vision that these apostles just experienced. So my thought was that people will begin to break the veil and see the cosmic vision, just like Nephi and all the other prophets. And so hence we'll see the revelations of John ourselves. Anyway, that's where my head went.
Michael?
I'm just referring back to earlier in the record that Moroni talks about what's going to be revealed. And he does mention in verse 37, a third of the record of the revelations of John written by the three Nephites. These will come forth when these things begin to occur again. I think in regard to Dolores's question, I think these things are when these records come to light in our day, possibly. Verse 41 says that notwithstanding, although the writing of this record, which bears the name of the brother of Jared, being the book of Moriancomer, should remain sealed together with the rest of the revelations of John in the sight of the seer, when these things begin to occur after the first seals are opened. So
yes.
It makes me wonder, you know, I know there was 42 plates that were unsealed for Mauricio, and he's only translated the first 19, which is this record. But then we still have the record of Samuel the Lamanite written by the hand of Nephi. Remember, the Lord came and said, how come you haven't written down the revelations of Samuel? It's like, oh yeah, you're right, we haven't, so we're going to write that down. That's yet to come forth. on those 23 remaining plates, as well as this section of the revelation of John that they saw when they were caught up. And I don't know when that, maybe that's not this generation when that's supposed to come. Maybe that comes in the next generation. But regardless,
Thank you.
they're going to come forth.
Thank you.
Malky?
Yeah. Is it not referring to these revelations, the revelations of John and what he has written, and that it will is playing out right now, that they are occurring here on earth?
I think it is also above in the verse, all the unspeakable things of the mysteries. So he's referring to the mysteries. He's describing all the higher things of the spirit, the spiritual things of the higher priesthood, not the lower priesthood, and the vision of these things, and that they begin to occur again. So we're only entitled to these scriptures when we have a certain amount of faith, like it. Even the sealed Book of Mormon can be still sealed when you read it if you don't have the right mindset.
Well, faith and practical things like living the
The
United,
commandments.
well, and the United Order, the law of consecration.
Yes. So the fullness of the heavens and the earth connected, intertwined. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brother Michael, would you read 17?
Yes. For how much it is difficult to explain this great mystery which surrounds us when we ourselves are beginning to understand. The fact is that after 100 years that have passed since we were removed from our brethren, that is 210 years, from the time that Christ came among his people, we were considered dead among our kindred, and behold, the Lord brought us back among this people on more than one occasion, for how much there was no more peace and righteousness between them.
Thank you. It's interesting. Oh, sorry. Oh no, that's not a hand. That's a dog. This great mystery, which surrounds us, it's so great. This so it's difficult to explain. This great mystery which surrounds us when we ourselves are beginning to understand. And isn't it great? It reminds me of repentance. I read once, you can only repent then when you understand what you're doing wrong. So you can do a commandment without understanding. So actually you become responsible only when you're beginning to understand. But so how difficult is that to explain this great mystery when you're beginning to understand? And we're beginning to hopefully become more one and more fearless and but to be able to have faith and act upon faith as the brother of Jared, we're probably not there. But we can be hopeful as we have this scriptures in our hands. Brother Russell.
Yeah, I'm going back to verse 11 that we talked about, where it talked about the 100 years. 100 years after the coming of Christ, when all the disciples are gone. And then again, it's talking about 100 years here, but it's pointed out that it's the 100 years. Let me get to 100
Ten.
years that have passed since we removed from our brethren. but it was actually 210 years. I wonder if those 100 years are the same 100 years.
If we compare that in 4th Nephi, in verse 14, it talks about 100 years had passed away. And in verse 18, then it says 110 years had passed away from that first generation from Christ. And then down in verse, what was it, 27? It came to pass that 210 years had passed away, and there were many churches in the land which professed to know the Christ, but they did deny the more parts of his gospel. So I wonder if these two references in verse 17, the 100 years and the 210 years, he's referring to they were taken at the 110-year mark, and then they came back 100 years later at the 210-year mark when the people were starting to divide and not have all things in common. Maybe that's the reference.
I was thinking about 1 and 10 and 100 and 1,000 and the symbolism of the reaching the next level. It could also mean like after 100 years since we were removed, so the visibleness, you know, it's not visible, but there's still the accounts, there's still the stories. So then the 200 and an extra one, that for me is the 10. The 10, 1 and 100 and 1,000 are all like symbolism of the oneness of the omnipotence of God. So but the, so the two, we were considered, isn't that interesting? We were considered dead. So in after the 100 years, a lot of people were still aware of their existence, of their reality. I think, and to emphasize that it doubled, even, yeah, to. For his glory, to put little branches in, but it's not the whole thing that is one anymore. That is the duality thing I'm speaking here to emphasize that. Well, it seems we can do the whole chapter today.
I think so.
We have a quite a lot of speed today. Very good. So, oh, sorry, Dolores, did you want to say?
Yes, I did want to comment. I thought it's interesting. I'm sorry to use that word again, that the Lord brings them back among the people when there's no more peace and righteousness between them. For some reason, I had the idea they only existed when the people were righteous, or the disciples were there when the people were righteous. But it looks like he brings them back when things are in a serious condition. He wants to remind them of the righteousness that they used to have, or the things that made them righteous. Like, well, I was going to say, I'll go ahead and say it. Like what the church used to be, you know, there were things that existed that made the people enjoy one another's company, and they would do good things because of that. That's all.
Great. That's great, Dolores. That's great. Because that's what I thought with the 200 years, and actually the verse 18 emphasizes that the dividing, so the duality, but the Lord can still have use for the individual in the that he there's no unity anymore in the whole thing, but he still can use in his yeah great plan. Because there was no more peace and righteousness, So then you would say, why bother? You know, why bother? So the Lord can use these individuals like He uses us from different branches, and then actually it ties beautiful together in 18, because we have to understand the necessity of having been given something, and then it would blossom and blessings come, and then always comes the pride. We have to understand, and then comes the upgrade, or the upgrading of the old software, and that's verse 18. So, Sister Bauke, would you read that?
Okay. It was then when the people began to divide into classes and they began to organize churches for themselves for the purpose of obtaining riches, prestige, and glory among their brethren. As I mentioned earlier in this record, yea, even among those who are remnants of the tribes that each of us was responsible for, who are the Jacobites, the Josephites, and the Zoramites. Yes, as he mentioned earlier, he mentions it in verse 1. It's almost exactly the same.
Yeah, it's a
chiasmus. Made me wonder, yeah, if it was maybe a chiasmus, but yeah. there is no really.
They divide into classes. This is about classy people.
There's nothing wrong with being classy.
No, but too classy, you get addicted with the social status.
Yeah, okay.
I think. And it's always the same: riches, glory, prestige. And it's so interesting.
Hey,
and
it's also interesting if it's a chiasmus. Should there be a middle then or not? Or because it says 18 verses, but that's maybe for another time.
Well, I heard that the mother of Renee Whitefield is doing the chiasmus research. So I'm very interested always in the middle, as it says. I am in the middle of all things in Doctrine and Covenants 88, verse 13. He's in the bottom of all things. We should never forget the central focus point of all these things. But it is very interesting. I'm using too much the word interesting too, I noticed now. I have to work on that. Thank you, Dolores. The Jacobites, because even among those, so you would say, This would last longer within their own tribes, you know, that we're doing pretty good. But even there, even in the West House, Russell.
I didn't mean to interrupt your sentence, but I think that the middle of the chiasmus is verse 10, where they were caught up to heaven. That might be a possibility. But
perfect, perfect. Thank you for that.
It's not 9 and 10 are the middle.
Yeah, but it's the event of the being caught up.
Oh.
I think, which should be in the middle, and catch our attention.
And we all use interesting. I don't think there's another word for it.
Yeah,
it is very interesting.
Yeah, what
fascinating.
Okay,
Brother Bento will always say it is amazing.
Yeah,
it is amazing.
Look at this. Look at this. It is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. So it is of our. Yeah, this is. Yeah. I think this is class. Thank you. I hand it over to you, Russell.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I will end the recording.